My dear Dhamma children, everyone who has come for this pilgrimage will certainly like to visit the important places related to the Enlightened One. Also would like to have advantage of the sacred vibrations of these places, and at the same time would like to know the significance of these places. The time is so short with us. I would have liked to speak so much in details, but I think that will not be very possible. Whatever we can cover. Now we are at least in this very important place, so let us talk of this first. Especially this trouble is with the Indian group. There is a madness in this country where people want to touch the foot of the teacher. The feet of the teacher, if you touch and the teacher gives blessing, you are liberated. So it's an easy way of getting liberated. This madness is to exploit the ignorant people of this country. And this was going on for a long time. I am totally against it. I know the Westerners won't do that. But still, you know what is the right thing to do. When you are on the path of pure dharma, this should never be done. Never encourage people to come and touch the feet of the teacher. And never expect that the blessing of the teacher will liberate you. The teacher will only show the path, you to walk. Every step you have to take yourself. Nobody can liberate you. This point must be very, very clear. A very important incident happened here. Mahaprajapati Gautama, the stepmother of the Enlightened One, at the age of 120, when she was going to pass away, she came to meet Buddha, pay respect. And the incident so happened. Buddha says, I will tell you what is the way of giving respect. What is the way of giving respect? There were meditators sitting there, sitting cross-legged, straight back, closed eyes and meditating. He says, this is the way to pay respect to the Buddha. You have seen in the army, in the navy, in the air force, they don't bow down. They are more stiff. And with a stiff, they give salute. This is their tradition. Armed people give salute to their elders by remaining stiff. What is the tradition in Buddha's way? Meditate. When you are meditating, you are giving the best respect to the teacher, best respect to Buddha, best respect to Dhamma. Understand that. Don't give importance to this physical structure of the Guru. This is not going to help you. That madness is more in the East. Don't copy that. Learn and see what is the best way of giving respect to the teacher, what is the best way to give respect to the Dhamma, to Buddha, to Sangha. Meditate. Give a good example. This is how the follower of the path, this is how he behaves, this is how she behaves, this is how she works. Keep that in mind. And another thing I have seen, this is specially for these two. As I say, don't touch the feet of the teacher. I am totally against that. Wherever this gurudom starts, especially in this country, to exploit the people, you touch the foot and he will give the blessing and you are liberated. Madness. There cannot be bigger madness than that. Everyone has to work. Now, special difficulty that we are facing, a group of 800 or 900 people, everyone wants to sit in front of me, in front of the Guru, and pay respect. If every student takes 1 minute, 800 minutes go there. From where to get that time? And those who don't get this opportunity, they feel very much depressed. Oh, so and so paid respect. I could not go to see Guruji. I could not get blessing of Guruji. This madness. Come out of it. Not only here, I see in the centers also, like Igatpuri, we have got 800 students, 10, sometimes 1,000 students, they are sitting, and everyone wants to pay respect, individually. There cannot be bigger madness than that. Sit at your own place. And even if you want to give your respect, all right, bow down your head and pay respect. But main thing is, meditate, this is the best way to give respect. Dhammo hi setho lokasming, this is here that Buddha said, the most important is to give importance to Dhamma, not to individual. Dhamma, the king of this country, of this place, Pasenjit, used to pay respect to him. Buddha was a Shakya, and the country of Shakya was under this king. Although for the inner affairs, they were liberated, they were free, but otherwise, they were under this king. So, Buddha was a subject of this king. And yet, the king gives respect to him. Why? Buddha says, because of Dhamma. not because of anything else, because of Dhamma. So everyone has to give respect to Dhamma, not to individual. Not to individual. And again you give respect to Dhamma, then always while meditating, even if you are bowing your head, meditating, anicca. You feel anicca. You are all Vipassana meditators. As you bow down your head, even sitting at your place, anicca. Second time you bow down your head, dukkha. Third time you bow down your head, anatta. With the experience, don't make it a mechanical exercise. Don't make it a rite or a ritual. Feel sensations at the head. Yes, it is anicca. And whatever is anicca can't be a thing of pleasant. It is unpleasant, dukkha. And where is I in this? Where is mine in this? So anatta. Like this, work properly as one should work who is walking on the path. Now we come again to the proper things of this place. We passed through Rajagiri and I didn't have any time to explain you. So many very important things happened there. So many important things happened. One very important thing which helped the Sasana, the Dhamma to spread was that a multi-millionaire, rather billionaire of this place went to Rajagiri to meet his sister who was married to the richest person of Rajagiri. He used to go there. And whenever he went there, all the household people and the servants would look after him because they were an important person of this and moreover a relative. So they will look after him. But this time, he finds nobody is interested. Everybody is busy in some other work. He wondered, what happened? Why people are not giving importance to me? And he inquired, what is happening? Everybody is busy. Is there going to be some marriage? And you are busy in the marriage affair? Or the king, the Bimbisara is going to visit here? Why you are all so busy? And they say, Buddha is visiting. Tomorrow morning Buddha will come with his disciples, more than 1,000 disciples. And it was a pleasant surprise for him, Buddha. Because it was known that it is so rare. Buddha padu dullabho lokasmin. Not easy for the Buddha to arise. Buddha, somebody has become Buddha. So he wanted to meet Buddha. He met Buddha. And when he met Buddha, because of his paramis of the past, few words that Buddha said, and the anicca started in his body. Anicca, anicca, sensations of anicca, anicca. And as he was talking, and he was experiencing anicca, yang kinchi samudaye dhammang sabbang tang nirodha manti. Observing this arising, passing, suddenly, nirodha. All that stopped, and that is the stage of nibbana. That's the stage beyond the sensorium. He experienced that, that means he became sotapanna. Now this person who has experienced this reality of liberation, first experience of nibbanic stage, one becomes sotapanna. This person is liberated from the birth of the lower region. No more birth in the lower regions. At least that much liberation is there. All his sankharas, which are responsible to take him to the lower magnetic field, are removed, eradicated. And this person cannot perform any such action which will take him to the lower magnetic field. So liberated from there. First stage of liberation. How much happy this person would have been. Although a multimillionaire, a billionaire. I know these billionaires, they have got no peace of mind. That is why they keep on seeking some way to get peace and harmony. No peace of mind. Money is there. All the other facilities are there. Prestige is there, position is there, status is there, still no peace of mind, no peace of mind. And here is somebody, he gets so much of peace of mind. And then therefore, out of love and compassion for his own people, this was the biggest populated city in the entire country. Large population, a place of big business, so many mad people are here, and they are so much in misery. Oh sir, if you come there and you teach this wonderful technique in my city, in the city of Shravasti, so many people will get benefited. Buddha smiled, that means he agreed. And that made this place, he came and established a vihara here, a center here, a big center. where 10,000 meditators can stay and meditate. 10,000 is a big number. He was looking for a place. Which place is more suitable? It should not be very far away from the city. How will people reach there? It should not be very near, in the midst of the city, with all the noise and all going on there. How can people meditate? Not very far, not very near. He selected this place, which was a park. Now, who is the owner of this park? He inquired and found out the prince, king's son, Jeta, he is the owner. And he goes there. Sir, I want to buy your park. I am not here to sell it. It is for my own use, for my own pleasure. I am not going to sell it, it is not for sale. All right, you don't sell, but let me know what's the price. No, but I am not selling. But tell the price. And just to avoid him, the price was given, you have to spread gold coins on the entire place. So many acres of land. Gold coins. The deal is done. And he said, but I am not going to sell. Deal is done. According to the law of the country in those days, if somebody expresses the value of his place and somebody says, deal is done, it is done. Why you give the price? You give a price and he accepted it. You have to give now. So the deal was done. And he started bringing carts full of gold coins and spreading on this. When the majority of it was spread, small portion was left. Then this prince says, oh no, but why you are doing it? You are an intelligent person. And when he comes to know that somebody has become enlightened, and this enlightened person is going to come here and teach Dhamma, so many people will get benefit. Ah, wonderful, I never knew. So let me share. The rest of the land is my donation. When we go there, you will see the land near the gate was given by him. And Buddha gave the name of this place as Jaitwans as well as Anathpindas. And so many people got benefit here. So many people got benefit here. This sort of dana, he was giving dana even before he came in contact with Buddha. He was a big donor. He had a big business not only in the country but outside country also. So wherever he had business branch, no one in that city must go hungry. Everyone must get food. That was his way of working. Everywhere, wherever he had his branch, people will get food. So he was called Anathapindaka, one who gives food to the poor people. That was his title. Now we understand. It is good. It is good to give food to the hungry people. It is good to give water to a thirsty person. It is good to give medicine to one who is sick. Nothing wrong. Wonderful. But when you give Dhamma, nothing like that. Sabvadanang Dhammadanang Janati. The highest gift that you give to anybody is Dhamma. If you give food to somebody, next day again this person is hungry. You give water to a thirsty person, again he is hungry. You give medicine, again some other disease might come. But when you give Dhamma, the whole life this person is on the path of liberation. And life after life, he is on the path of liberation. Invaluable gift. And on this land, the enlightened one will give this gift. So all my gift to the poor people, good, let it be there. He didn't stop there. Never stop giving donations to the poor people. Like we have now this great earthquake disaster. And you say, we are Dhamma people, we don't care, let people die. No, never do that. Each individual, now large number of our Vipassana meditators have gone there to serve. They have collected a lot of money. Even one from Madras itself, they have collected 50 lakhs of rupees. And I was told about 400 or 500 people have gone there to serve. Like this throughout India, people are going to serve individually. But the biggest gift that these people will get will be in all those centers which you have there where this disaster has happened. Like in Bada, Kutch, or Rajkot, or in Ahmedabad. Courses will be given there. Dhamma courses will be given. Each center will give course for 1,000 students. Now we have accommodation for only 100 or 150. Now these people are shattered. Their mind is shattered. Not only those whose near and dear ones have gone away, who have lost their property. Somebody has not lost anything, but still seeing all that disaster, they are shattered. They are mentally shattered. And Dhamma only will help them. So we will give thousand courses for thousand people, course after course, course. This is our contribution, contribution of the Buddha. You give any contribution for food, good, you should give. Kalika dana. This is the time to give, a hungry person to give food. But the best donation that you can give is Dhamma. This is what this person understood, Anath Pendaka. Dhamma will be given here. What, this money that I have, all the coins that I have spread here is meaningless compared to the Dhamma that will be given here. This is a very important place in the sense that Buddha stayed here, lived for the Varshavas, for the rainy season, 3 months every year, 25 times. For 45 years, he kept on serving people, day and night serving people. But during rains, a monk is not supposed to travel. One has to stay at one place, meditate and teach meditation to others. So every rainy season, 45 years rainy season, he spent 25 rainy seasons in this very place. So it is such an important place. And he gave so many sermons here. Over 800 sermons were given in this place. And the Jataka stories, more than 500 Jataka stories, about 400 were explained here, were given here. So such an important place, very important place. We are fortunate we are here. And we will go in the evening, perhaps from 6 to 7. We will meditate there. I remember last time when I came here, of course the group is bigger the better, but that was a smaller group, maybe about 50 or so. And the vibration was so strong, I decided whole night we will meditate in that place where Buddha stayed. Vibration was so strong. The caretaker was here. He said, no, you are taking a big risk. When I came, all this was just like a jungle. But nobody, after evening, nobody will go there. He said, a lot of snakes here. At night time, darkness, you all will sit here. Dangerous. I said, no danger. Dhamma is there to help. We carried on meditation. Midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I wanted to do for the whole night because we had been doing that in Bodh Gaya number of times. Whole night. But I saw people started sneezing and all that. Oh, somebody will become sick. So better go. We left about 1:30 or so. Now we will go just for 1 hour because the time is so short. Place is so wonderful. Where Buddha stayed for so long and where he distributed Dhamma, pure Dhamma for the benefit of people. How many people got benefit here? And all those things, all those teachings spread around the world. Generation to generation, so many people got benefit. So a very important place for us, and we will be visiting there. Here we will understand certain things which happened, like the case of Angulimala, who had killed 999 human beings, and he had taken a vow that he will kill 1,000, and he was looking for the 1,000th one. And the route through the jungle, and a very busy route, now people don't go there, they are afraid. Anyone goes there, he will kill it. And he was looking for the 1,000th person, and his mother, who was living here, when she came to know, this mad fellow is my own son. What he's doing? If I go, I can explain. I can bring him to my house and I can change his mind. And she decides to go. Buddha, out of compassion, infinite compassion, this fellow is a mad fellow. And he will even kill his own mother. And once he kills the mother, for him all the gates of liberation, at least now, are closed. He has to pass through some hellfire. Out of compassion, I must save this person. He is a good parmi of the past, but he has gone on the wrong path, and Buddha goes there. No question of miracle and all that. He goes there and explains him. When he questions that, you better stop, and I will come and kill you. He says, I am stopping. You are not stopped. You are not stopped. You keep on walking. What? I keep on walking. You are stopped. You are walking. I have stopped the walking of the cycle of birth and death. You are not stopped that. You are still in the cycle of birth and death. All these talks, by talks he understood, he got some, and the vibration of Buddha, wonderful vibration of Buddha, and he learned this Dhamma and became fully enlightened, reached the stage of Arhant, the final goal of Arhant. When people say that Buddha's teaching is only for the next life, you will be liberated after death, totally wrong. You get benefit of the teaching here and now. Here and now, Akaliko. So people, how they get changed? Look, this demon-like person, how he got changed? He became a saintly person. And now we see large number of people, prisoners, hard criminals, when they take courses after courses, How to change? The jail superintendent says, I could never believe this person could change like this. Yes, people are changing. This is beauty of Buddha's teaching. You get the benefit here and now, and you keep on getting benefit afterwards also. But you get here and now. So this wrong impression which is being spread in the country has to be removed. Another wrong impression, that because of Buddha, the non-violence went to that extreme that our country became very weak. Outsiders came and invaded us, and our country became slave. It was all because of the teaching of Buddha. Because people had forgotten what real teaching of Buddha was. This place will make us understand. Here is a king, Prasenjit, who is a follower of Buddha, great follower of Buddha, disciple of Buddha, having great respect for Buddha. And he finds that there is somebody who is killing people on the way. It's a big shame for a king that he can't look after his own subjects. So he decides, he takes about a group of about 500 soldiers and decides to go there and fight with him. He had been sending a few numbers of soldiers and they were being killed. Now I take a bigger number of people. But before going there, he comes to Buddha. If Buddha had told the rulers, you should not take sword, you should not take arms, even to safeguard your people, then this person would not have even would have thought of going to Buddha and take his blessing. Before going there, he comes here, in this Jetavan, to take blessing of Buddha. I am going to fight with this person. If he knew Buddha doesn't want this, he would have never dared to do that. He goes there. That shows this is the duty of the king, to safeguard the people. So he goes. But before he goes, Buddha has already converted him. He has become an arahant. And Buddha tells, if you see Anath Pindaka here as a monk, how can it be? Anath Pindaka, this person who has killed so many, Angulimala. This Angulimala to become a monk? And yes, here he is, a monk. And he shivers. The name of Angulimala itself makes him shiver. Don't worry, he's a changed person now. He is a arahant. Yes, he's a arahant. Such a big change has come. So the truth is that Buddha's teaching gives result here and now. And of course, it goes on life after life, unless you reach the stage of arahant where there is no more life. So here we find these things, that how Buddha's teaching is for the lay people, for the king, even to raise arms wherever it is necessary to safeguard people, not to kill others, to get something from them. Now the example of Ashoka is being given in this country, because Ashoka had this Kalinga war and killed large number of people there, and then he repented. It is so bad. Look. So I now decide no more wars. Yes, no more wars. No more wars to grab somebody else's territory. But if somebody comes to grab my territory, then yes, his army is still there. He had never disbanded the army. The army is still there to defend the country. The teaching was perfect, is perfect. The Buddha himself will not take a sword, will not take arms and ammunition. The monks will not take arms and ammunition. But lay people, they have to perform their duties. The king specially has to perform the duties. And that they have been doing. But wrong impression that is created should be removed. At least Vipassana meditators should never have this kind of wrong impression. Before Vipassana, I used to have this impression and I repent for that. I should not have done that. Anyhow, this is another important thing that happened here. Now, another important incident of this place was Vishakha, who was daughter of a very rich person. Now, this man, Anath Pindak, himself was a billionaire. And yet, in those days in India, perhaps there were trillionaires, much more money than this Anath Pindaka. Anath Pindaka was nothing compared to them. And five of them, and all of them had their business and residence in Magadha. Now, this king of this place, Prasenjit, he goes to the king of Magadha, Bimbisara. And his sister was married to Bimbisara. And he goes there and requests him, you have got six multi-billionaires, please give me one of them so that I can make them stay in my country. I have that honor that I have got also a multi-billionaire with me. And of course, with that, because of that, a lot of revenue also comes. When there's big business, they get more money. So please give me one. He said, they are not like cattle or sheep that I ask them to take away. If they agree, I won't object. Normally I would not have allowed, but I won't object. You talk with them. And he went to all five of them. Everybody refused. No, we are quite happy here. We can't go to your place. One of them had some compassion. He said, well, look, I won't go, but my son will go. And he sent his son here. Son was not ready to come and stay in the capital, the Shravati. So far away, another place, Saket. He said, I better settle down here. I better settle down here. It's in your kingdom. And he agreed. So he settled down here. Now he had two daughters, Vishakha and Sujata. The elder daughter, Vishakha, when she was just 7 years old, Buddha went to the grandfather's place, gave some sermons there, and at this age of seven, she became Sotapanna. Because of the past paramis, no magic, no miracle. She had so much paramis of the past, that as Buddha was speaking, she will feel anicca, and then suddenly, the nirodha, and she became Sotapanna. Now she is such a dhammic person. And as she grew, became 16 years old, the time for marriage, she was married to the son of a multimillionaire here in this capital city. The rich man's name was Migar, married to his son. She had to face a lot of trouble. She didn't have any mother-in-law to trouble her, but the father-in-law was playing the part of both mother-in-law and father-in-law, and she was in big trouble all the time. Because he was disciple of some other tradition, teacher of some other tradition. And here she is disciple of Buddha, and therefore he doesn't like it. Out of all those troubles, once it so happened, she invited Buddha and requested him, you at least listen what he says, at least listen. But I don't want to see his face. So he puts a curtain. Curtain is there, but the ears are open. So as Buddha gives sermon, he listens. Listening was such a wonderful teaching. I never knew. People have told me so much bad about Buddha's teaching, and it is so good. I never knew it is so good. And he comes out, pays respect to Buddha, but before paying respect to Buddha, he pays respect to daughter-in-law. You are my mother. It is because of you that I got Buddha's teaching. Wonderful. From that day onwards, Vishakha was named as Migar Mata. She became mother of the father-in-law. And this wonderful devotee of Buddha, always thinking how Dhamma should spread. And these people, monks and nuns, they go round, spreading Dhamma, teaching Dhamma, helping people. I must look after their comfort. And they started looking after their comforts, all sorts of comforts. Whatever is naturally needed, the food, the clothing, etc. Then suddenly, it comes to her mind. Anath Pindika has made this wonderful meditation center. 10,000 people meditating here. There cannot be a better service to Dhamma than this. I must also do something. And it so happened. She was so rich. The parents were rich. The husband was rich. She used to wear a special kind of garment with some very valuable crown over that, worth millions. And the tradition is that when you go to meet Buddha, or you go to meet the monks, or you go in a temple, you have to take off your headdress. There are traditions where people go to their monasteries, they go to their temples, their mosques, where they must put something on the head. But in this tradition, no, they must go with naked head. So whatever she was wearing, she kept there and paid respect to Buddha, listened to Buddha, and when time was there to go, she forgot that and went away. When she went at home, she remembered, oh, I had left it there. So she comes back. And here Ananda, when he saw this such a valuable ornament lying here, he took it and kept it somewhere else. A bit safer place. And when she comes, I had kept it here. Yes, but Ananda has kept it there. Oh, if Ananda has taken it, then it's not my property. How is Ananda's property? I must sell this in the market. Whoever buys it, and this money will go for the monastery that I will make. Nobody was ready to buy because it was so valuable. So she buys herself. She buys it herself, and that money she makes another monastery here. For 5,000 people to stay and meditate. There's another very important place, as you see here, Anath Pindika's place, that is Purvaram center, where 5,000 people will stay. Another important thing that you will see here, the king Prasenjit, initially, he was not a follower of Buddha. And we find that even he used to shout at his wife, Mallika, who was a devotee of Buddha. You mad woman, you keep on talking good about Buddha, and he has got no respect for Buddha. But slowly how he got changed, he became devotee of Buddha. And now he says, these people, rich people, they are making such viharas, why not I make a vihara? And he makes a vihara. Raja, this king makes a vihara, Rajgoram, where many people can also go and meditate. So these three important places we'll find here. Others are all, these are also ruined now, no more. But these located, they are located. And then there is a stupa in the name of Angulimala. People started giving respect to him after his death. There is a stupa in the name of Anathapindika even. Perhaps his descendants might have made something to honor Buddha. Few things are located now. But it was a vast area. Now what you call Jethwan is such a small place. 10,000 people to live here. When people come for meditation, day and night they have to stay there. And these monks who were there, they have to stay there, meditate and stay there. 10,000 people, their residence must be so big. More archaeological discoveries has to be made. Now the government of India, from the sky, they are taking photo of these places, and they have found that this area below the earth is a very vast area, and there are so many things under it. Later on, if the archaeological department of this country excavates and finds out, so many things will come out. But at least these three or four, which are very popular, at least they are located. We will go round and see. Most important thing is our meditation from 6 to 7. Is it true? From 6 to 7, that is very important. But we have 1 hour to go round and see things. Keep in mind that pilgrimage is not a sightseeing. You not come here just to see the sight. Pilgrimage is to get inspiration so that you can work more and more for your liberation. You take advantage of the vibrations, the wonderful vibrations of the places where the enlightened one gave Dhamma. And so many people meditated there. Get advantage of that, and for that purpose we go around, see places and meditate. Bhavatu sarva mangalam. Bhavatu sarva mangalam. Bhavatu sarva mangalam. Bhala ho, bhala ho. Be happy, be happy.